The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Yes. Men on the
Mission! Are you ready?
We're men!
Here we go!
Men on the Mission!
Men on the Mission! Bam, bang, boom! Here we go!
Welcome to the New Gen on Mission podcast, the North South Connection. I'm Tim Slavka.
I'm JP.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, we are on a journey to live the new generation era, to find the best and some of the worst of a wrestling time period often forgotten. Brennan Shaw on Survivor Series 92. It's Brennan Shaw on Survivor Series 97. We look beyond the pay-per-views, examine the weekly TV, see what worked, what could have worked, and what failed. JP, how's life?
Pretty good, man. Once this episode drops, we will have a new savior in Chicago.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, we won't be... At least we'll have one team to look forward to, hopefully, and
till he gets ruined.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that the inevitable hopefully doesn't happen finally, but
it will.
Yeah, I know.
I can have hope, but I know how it goes.
But so. But the Cubs won the World Series. I feel like anything can happen now.
That's true. I got the quad box of. I got two playoff hockey games in the background, two basketball games.
Oh, do you have YouTube TV too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so
good.
It's
great. It's great.
I love it.
And it eliminates all the Chicago teams out. Maybe that's an accident or a special feature I enable, but there's some reason Chicago teams are somehow not included in this package. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, I get them more. You're in Chicago, so it's probably like a localized thing, but I get the not playoffs, but obviously, but normally it'll pick Chicago for me. So
oh, nice, yeah. Well, I think they won't need the White Sox for MLB either. So that's a pretty.
Oh, they're still a team.
They might be the Nashville Sox soon.
Yeah,
the way they're playing this year. So, but fun time of year with the playoffs. I usually don't get into it, but honestly, this YouTube TV thing is like making me more intrigued.
Oh, I love
playoffs
it.
Because it's just like I don't have to focus on one game and forget about it and just kind of like pick the best one versus like channel searching. So
yeah, no, it's especially like on Sundays, like on football Sundays.
Yeah, yeah.
College football
is really great too.
Yep.
I like Purdue, but they're not the greatest school of like football, so I don't really care that much about them. So
right.
Having another team is just like, oh, I'm just gonna check this game out. It's kind of great.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a great feature. Whoever invented this. Good move. So should we move on to some Bob Backlund wrestling?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Speaking of current, fresh, up-to-date things, let's go to Bob Backlund.
Let's go. All right. So we're gonna do a couple Raws, Superstars, and the second Action Zone, which has a hot match. So
very
hot match. So we'll start 10/24. And this is weird. I don't know about you, and I should. Sometimes we don't talk about these things beforehand. But did yours start in the middle of the Razor Yoko match?
Yeah, it wasn't like an entrance or anything. It just
So
it messed me up.
Yeah, so I wonder if there was something on the network that was the reason they were why it started that way. Like
right.
Razor's intro is so awesome, so there must have been something. Maybe they said on the air, on the air or something that they just brought it out. So we got Razor Yoko, really weird. Of course, we get the nerve hold in the match as always. But the match is kind of slow. Again, we chop off a couple minutes, it feels like, in the match. So the Tister WWE has it a 10-minute match. So I'm guessing there was another nerve hold we missed in there. But the ending is kind of creative. But again, for a guy like Razor, I don't think it's necessary. So Paul Bearer brings the casket down to the aisle. And, of course, Yoko gets scared of that and runs away. Weird that they don't have Taker pop out. I guess they're trying to like long build that, but again, could have been something awesome of Taker coming out of the casket versus just Yoko being scared of it. But the crowd got super into it once the casket came out. So they were super into Razor every time he was on offense. It's just Yoko just is slow, plodding. His nerve hold is weak. But the feud and Taker and Razor all seem pretty high level yet. So a fine opener, random, but kind of cool. Building up the rest of Taker Yoko.
Yeah, so like I like that this is like a fresh matchup with Razor versus Yoko, and I like the Taker versus Yoko feud, but the other feud that's going on in the background with Undertaker, it's so pushed as well that it's not like it's kind of hard to decide what the main feud for Undertaker is.
Yep.
With IRS. Okay, we'll see a lot of vignettes and stuff of that. So it's kind of weird, like the whole casket stuff is still going on with Yoko, like kind of being played out while IRS is like, you know, visiting grave sites and
yep,
you know, making them pay taxes kind of thing. So I don't know which one to get more excited for. I guess the Yoko Taker because their chemistry is pretty good in ring, but just kind of, I'm kind of like, it's a little bland on the feud, I guess, because it's just so mixed in the direction. But I kind of wish Razor was like paired off with somebody like Yoko or something instead.
Yeah, I wonder I was going to say, I wonder if they were already telling Yoko he has to leave after this.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, he disappears and he obviously goes to a couple fat farms over the time. So I'm not sure if like this is the reason why.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right because those vignettes are so heavily pushed.
Yeah.
That it seems like they could have just wedged them in to like make the pivot. And they already had like these matches and stuff set up. So, like, you know, King's Court later on, stuff like that, probably yeah. already done. That they just had to air it. So, no, that's a good call.
Yep.
Go
ahead. Why don't you keep going?
Yeah. So from there, we get a Smoking Gun squash, which I know they were out for a little while and kind of back. They look pretty good. Like, not. They're still not, like, it's kind of weird, right? We're towards the end of 94. Like, Smoking Guns are considered, just on memory's sake, like, the tag team of the New Gen era, for the most part. And they just really haven't done anything of significance yet.
No, like, big disappointment.
Like, nothing. Like, yeah. nothing at all. Like, I mean, even Adam Bomb has had a Quang feud. You know what I mean? Like, what? The Smoking Guns just haven't done anything. Smoking Buns might be a porno, by the way. but yeah, there's nothing. Like, I don't know. I want to like them. I want to like invest in them, but they're not giving us anything. So it's just kind of bland. We also get like a little word from Tatanka calling Luger an immigrant. So that was kind of cool. You know, Tatanka being the native, like I like that. I wish they would have pushed that more. Like he's calling like all the white dudes immigrants and stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty cool. And then that gets followed by a Tatanka squash, which still not liking him as a heel. Not really. Like I like the line of being an immigrant. I like that, but his work as a heel, he was just so fun to watch as a babyface that it kind of sucks that got taken away.
Yeah.
And then there's also an Adam Bomb squash, which crazily enough, like he has his entrance and it looks like the way the entrance is, like it's a little like firework that goes off behind him and it looks like he farts. It looks like a cloud that comes up from behind his butt. So that was like the highlight until Backlund comes out and attacks the jobber. So
yeah,
a couple
I mean,
squashes there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Smoking Guns, I put a nothing match. They really talked to Backlund a lot on that. And then I love Vince McMahon's calling of the Smoking Guns, an unbelievable into what a maneuver on there. Yeah. And their finishing move is ridiculous. Tatanka, I thought, had some weird cuts too on the like a jump cut into his match. So I wonder if they were having something else.
You know, could they have been talking about OJ at this time?
Maybe something. I don't know what. It was so weird that it was just cut like that. Even the Tatanka
yeah,
manager.
There's a lot of edits.
Yeah, maybe they had a sponsor that like they. It was very weird.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe yeah. I don't know. Right? It's it was just very, very unusual for that. I did. You like the fart? You hated the fart porn promo? Fireworks. I thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it looked cool. Made Adam Bomb look a little bigger in the Backlund thing's kind of creative. Like he. Adam Bomb has been doing nothing with Backlund. He's not even right. in that match. And all of a sudden he kind of comes out and levels with him. So I thought that was pretty good. I guess I'll get the King's Court. Do I have to?
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we get the
sucks.
Oh my God. I don't even know. I'll get the names wrong. You were so proud of me last time for
yes.
knowing all their names. And yeah. I'm going to look at the history of WWE, but we get the King finally announcing all his King's Court in Queasy, Sleazy, and now he introduces Cheesy, which they really pick on him on Cheesy,
yep.
like the name and how much he stinks, and just like it's supposed to be funny, it kind of is, but it's kind of mean spirited a little bit too.
Right.
And of course, King is good during this. Of course, just making all the short puns and references, and they kind of get pissed. I do like that, that they kind of showing that they're like, this guy's a jerk, kind of.
Right,
like,
wait a minute.
Like, I think you're making fun of us. So you can kind of see the face turn of these, of Queasy and Cheesy and Sleazy already, but it is what it is. We know where this is going. We've kind of, the first part of it maybe was fun, and now it's just every week it's like, oh, this again. So they really built up that. And they also had then, finally, we got a Survivor Series report. So I don't know if we could probably just talk about some of these here, but they mentioned that we got a couple matches. So we got Guts and Glory, which is rapping Mabel. I had to put that note when Todd said that.
Yeah.
Bomb, Luger, and the Smoking Guns. So Smoking Guns finally elevated to something. Like, exactly. This is our first big match versus the Million Dollar Team. So you got Bam Bam, Tatanka, King Kong Bundy, and then randomly the Heavenly Bodies. So weird, like no Nikolai, no IRS, but it makes sense. The Bodies were feuding with the Smoking Guns. So, okay, that makes sense. I put Todd's mullet is also out of control to this during the segment when he announces it. He also announces that Backlund's going to get that title shot, that Brett has let Backlund cut the line and will be facing Brett for the title with more matches still to come. So finally, we get to, you know, we kind of complained last time, like, where's the Survivor Series? Finally, we get the two kind of double main events on this Raw to kind of really get set up for Survivor Series. So I don't know if you had anything else to add to the King's Court. I mean, we could talk about it for another half hour if we want.
Yeah, well, that, it was just one of the more disappointing King's Courts. Like, at least, like, it was funny in, like, the campy way, I guess. Like,
yeah,
you just look at it in a vacuum. But this one just didn't hit the same, I guess. Like,
I agree. It was like, you knew where it was going, right? I think because on Superstars, they obviously announced Pink or Wink or whichever one was announced last. So you knew where the kind of idea was going, so it's kind of like we had to just do this to get there.
And then you also close out the show with a Diesel squash, and he definitely is starting to look more impressive, in my opinion at least, where he's just looks like he's kind of finding the act, at least, like he's finally going along with it. So pretty decent stuff there.
All right, so we move on to Superstars then.
Yes, sir.
All right, so this is back. This is the last of the last taping of from September 27th. So this is the final one. So we get first the start of it, the highlights of Brett from the Action Zone. I had really crowd sweetening on this, like the crowd was going crazy, but it clearly wasn't. But this is where he kind of announces that he will. He's letting Backlund kind of cut the line. So they kind of bring up that. They're really pumping Action Zone during this weekend, too. So good. Right. New show. You got to kind of pump that up. And we start off with the Nana Bomb Squash. Again, I don't remember if you got the Farty promo because I don't have it pyro, but I don't have it here, so maybe not. And so I thought a good squash, but again, kind of nice of having him fight, and then we get into the Survivor Series program. So you kind of say, oh, pretty cool that they then add him to the main event. So there we also get announced that it will be the submission match between Hitman and Bob Backlund. Yep. So Sharpshooter versus Chicken Wing. Don't really explain what it is yet. They announced the Guts and Glory match. Again, some nice talk about M-Bomb. And then they kind of announced the bad guys versus, I forget the Teamsters maybe. I don't think they gave them a name, but we get Razor, 123 Kid, Bulldog, and the Head Shrinkers versus Sean Diesel, Double J, and Owen and Anvil. So this team kind of comes out of nowhere. Just kind of disappointing, like, that they didn't build this up and just like, oh, these teams are randomly fighting. I felt like last year we liked the Survivor Series build a little bit better. This feels like weird. I put in my notes, like, this almost feels like 2012, where it's like, oh, it's a week before the pay-per-view, and all of a sudden here's the matches.
Right.
And so kind of disappointing. The music also was terrible for these. It's like a Southern theme, but it's like bad, what you expect of like the 70s to like, stereotypes Southern music, like, I don't know, like really rough. It's like doesn't have that same like Jim Johnson classic WrestleMania or SummerSlam things. And then we get why don't you announce the casket match then?
So we do get Undertaker and Yoko in the casket match. It is weird that all this stuff is kind of like rushed when you know it's a pillar pay-per-view. Survivor Series has like the one of the more unique builds, like kind of like the Royal Rumble, where you can like list off all these participants. And I wonder if, like, because everything was in flux, like Vince coming out of the trial, them making like roster decisions on certain guys, maybe like who to push or whatever. I wonder if that like halted the build to Survivor Series. And then,
I don't know. Yeah.
But I also wonder if like Diesel was in the plans like suddenly to win the belt, and they just knew they had to pivot off of Brett, and like if that decision was hard to make, like it was like, okay, are we gonna, you know, give the belt to Backlund? Are we gonna, you know, go with Diesel? Like, I don't know if that was like so set in stone until like they won the title, the tag titles, and kind of saw Diesel as the man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
So it's weird. It's just weird that everything is like rushed. Like what you said with Yoko. Yoko's going to be leaving soon. Savage is going to be leaving soon. Backlund, like, all of a sudden is in the main event. Like, things just seem, like, out of the ordinary. Like, it doesn't seem like a typical WWF where they build, like, 6 months in advance and then work backwards kind of thing. So, I don't know. It's just really weird.
Yeah, I got up to the Observers in, like, mid-September, and there's nothing about it's Diesel. There's nothing about Yoko either winning or leaving. So it's kind of weird that they haven't really talked about any of that stuff yet. It's like even Meltzer's not even on. So it must have been rushed. Like, I don't know. I'll read it a little bit more for next time to see if there's anything like interesting, because
right
now it actually, the focus has been, and his Observers have more been on Hulk Hogan coming into WCW. So it's also weird, like, that they really haven't started taking shots at WCW yet, even with Hogan coming there. So kind of interesting there.
Well, I think Vince truly gets hurt by the Savage thing. So I think that's when it kind of goes and starts, like, I guess. But, you know, back to like the casket match thing, I never really thought of it as like the nail. Oh God, that was a bad pun. The nail in the coffin, the Yoko, like putting him away for a while. Like, I didn't put the two together. So that does make sense that they are having a casket match. Like, it's a, you know, like they did it with Taker at the Rumble to put him away for a while. So, you know, reversing it, that's kind of a good little bookend, I guess. Now they kind of like, that kind of changes my mind on how much I like that feud. So
five stars.
That is pretty good. Yeah, five stars. Well, I mean, definitely five stars. So
you just need a little pun to get you there.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. And I'm like, oh God, this is embarrassing. So, yeah, I'm glad that it's finally building to it, at least. I like the build of the Big Four, like even King of the Ring. I like when they build and they do the little Todd segments. Like, that's just like the, you know, brings me back to as a kid watching it. Those are the things that stuck out the most, like, you know, matches, big-time matches, obviously. But, like, stuff like that was the glue of the show. So it's always fun to watch that, you know, little segment. So, after that, we do get a Jeff Jarrett squash, so kind of good to see him still in the mix. Kind of waiting for him to branch off into something else also, so I guess we'll see where he's going to go. We get IRS at the graveyard, you know, mentioning that just because you're dead, you still have to pay a tax kind of thing. So this is the stuff that we like with IRS, right? Like, the campy, cheesy, really play the character up kind of things. Like,
he's a jerk about it too.
Well, yeah. And I wish he would go back to like coming out talking like when he was making his entrance, because that's the stuff that really puts him over the edge. So like him doing this is good. Like it looks so dumb, but it's great. It's great stuff to watch. So points up for him. And then we also get a Razor squash. So, you know, early on, we were getting a lot of Razor, then it kind of cooled off for a little bit with him, and now he seems to be kind of getting another, I don't know if you would say push, but a little spotlight at least. So, good, decent squashes with the IRS segment kind of sandwiched in there.
Yeah, it's definitely a squash superstars.
It's bad.
Head Shrinkers and Jim Neidhart, kind of nothing. And then we get the Mabel again with his bad rapping. Just really rough. Like, I don't know what they did to it. Like, why even have him rap? And like, it doesn't sound good without Oscar. Again, I'd love to kind of know what they were thinking here, because like, Oscar comes back, then Mo comes back, and then Oscar leaves. Like, it's really weird with this team what they do, because they're so over, right? And it's like, Mabel's singles doesn't really get over, because again, I think the crowd comes into him, but it just doesn't sound, it doesn't give the same appetite when Oscar's out there getting guys to chant during their matches. So
Yeah, and we don't see Oscar anymore, do we? Like, I think he's gone.
I think he comes. I think on their heel. Yeah, spoilers, but on their heel turn, I think he's there. He might be there for that match only.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure they take him out as part of the heel turn. Like, that might be the heel turn. Like, that was gonna get the crowd. I guess it did work, but that was gonna get the crowd over.
Invested,
like,
characters. We make movies, pal.
Yes. And then we end the night kind of with a weird thing. We get the in-ring promo with the Million Dollar Man team, and they just kind of talk about the Guts and Glory match to kind of really break it that up. That was actually taped somewhere else. So I'm guessing what happened was when they filmed this, they had a different segment, and mm-hmm. then they decided to change their mind and kind of replace that with a different this and set promo to kind of bring up Survivor Series. So I'm guessing you're right. They just didn't know what they were doing. They filmed a bunch of stuff for the Superstars, and then right. said, crap, this doesn't, you know, that's not the way we want to go, right? Whether it's right. Yoko, or I don't know, maybe Nikolai was supposed to be in the match and they didn't want to like edit it. So it's kind of, that's kind of interesting to note that they, and you could tell they even say like, oh, this is from, I think, the Heart Attack Tour. Heart Attack Tour. Right. Yeah. Let's go do that. So, you know, something different there, but it was a cool promo and definitely starts building up that feud, which we've loved in Survivor Series of like, okay, we're going to take you guys out. You never know where we're going to be. And the Million Dollar Man just really talk about how great his corporation is. So
mm-hmm.
good enough stuff for that. Anything else you want to add on the Superstars, or move to Action Zone? I'll let you take the. So this one was taped back on September 28th, so that same weekend.
Right.
But a great match. So why don't you.
So this is commonly referred to as the click tag. It's referred to as the like starting off point where they only wanted to work with each other kind of thing, where
yep.
they were going to sandbag for other people or not shine as much with other guys, but for themselves, they work well together. You can see why. So, you know, this is Razor and Kid versus Sean and Diesel. So two pairings that make total sense, not just because they're friends, but like, on the TV, like what's been built and things like that, there's like some investment there, so that's good. I don't know where the match like necessarily comes from. Like, I don't know if it's a cold build. I know like Razor's kind of been mixed in, so I guess you can kind of like piece all that together from like SummerSlam and stuff. So, I guess there's some history there, but this match starts crazy hot. I love how this match starts. I guess there's no like, you know, dicking around, they're like showing up, like, hey, we're the young guys here. We're going to change the pace of this promotion. We're not doing it the lumbering way of your Nikolai Volkoffs and King Kong Bundys and stuff like that. The crowd is into it crazy early too, which yes. makes it that much better. Kid does some like high flying offense early. Like, he's definitely the small guy of the bunch with the, you know, the biggest arsenal, I guess you could say, which is cool. And then Diesel ends up running in and pairing with him, which was really fun to see. Like, Diesel is an underrated, like, Goliath character. So, like, you know, he was fun against, like, Ray and WCW. He's good here against Kid. He's got a couple other matchups I forget. But he's the good cat and mouse kind of big man. Kid, like, attempts a sunset flip, and Diesel just, like, tosses him. And it looks, like, dangerous the way he tosses him. But it was cool, so. Razor comes in, like, he's like a house of fire, which... He's one of the best, like, now that Tatanka's heel, he's probably one of the best, like hot tag baby faces that WWF has right now, like, as far as yep. the crowd getting into him. So that was good. There's this, like, great blind tag spot, and Diesel comes in, like, levels Razor, so that was cool. And he also hits, like, this twisting shoulder block, which was crazy. Like, Diesel, like, shoulder blocks and spins in midair. So it's like, you know, he's got his working boots on. They're definitely hustling for each other. Then towards the finish, Sean super kicks Diesel. So that's, you know, playing into the storyline of their kind of dissension a little bit with the, you know, the missed super kick. Kid comes in on fire with the hot tag. And Razor does this awesome spot where he tosses Kid into HBK, like that back sack of shit, I think they call it, move, where he just kind of like grabs him and tosses him backwards. That was cool. But then Diesel's kind of like on the ropes trying to come back in, and Kid runs into a big boot, and Diesel and Sean get the win. Excellent match. I think Like, I'll go on a limb and say, besides Brett and Owen, this is the best match of the year so far, in my opinion, in 94. Just the way, like, how fast-paced everything was, how clean everything was, and just, like, the creative spots they came up with. Like, that big boot was awesome. Razor throwing kid with the offense. Like, you don't see it that kind of, or those kind of moves that much in WWF up until this point. Just like I just really think 94, you know, it's kind of up and down as far as like match quality goes. There's been some good stuff, but like I like this better than the ladder match, Shawn and Razor.
Well, it's always good when 1-2-3 kid's involved. Right, you know, is that right. Or Razor? Like it
he's
seems,
the glue. Yeah,
yeah. It seems like we're always
Diesel got thrown out for a while with a super kick, so he hit his big spots. You know,
yeah.
He served his purpose, so he wasn't overused. I think it's the best tag team match we've watched easily so
way
far.
Better
I
mean, anything better than the Smoking Guns.
Yeah, Brett and Owen versus the Quebecers is up there too, but I just think this is a little bit better.
This is better. Yep.
Yeah, this is what made me want to watch Action Zone. Like this match. There's gonna be another tag match in February of '95 that might actually rival this match.
Okay.
It's up there. But this, yeah, I was waiting for this. Absolutely loved it on rewatch. Like, I've seen this match a few times. Just, like, definitely go out of your way to see it if you haven't. And I like I said, besides Brett and Owen, I think this is my favorite match of 94 so far.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things on that. I just had, it kicks right off to the big tag team match. I don't like Diesel's music. I think it's like compared to that Razor, like when Razor's music hits,
right.
Everyone gets excited. Diesel's gets it. They start adding that country remix to his music that makes it a little better mm-hmm. when he's a face. The crowd is nuts for this. Vince is on a different level for this. My next note is during the middle of the match, like they don't use Kid more. Like, God, he's so good.
Right.
Like, why was he at SummerSlam? Like, why is he not in more stuff? He just brings the action, which I just never appreciated him as much. And, you know, everyone makes fun of Six, but man, this guy is just like innovative. They did a lot of double features too, you know, where they now show the replay during the match.
Right.
And this was a match to do it for. So even like there was an awesome Diesel clothesline out of that. You kind of mentioned that blind tag.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel like clocked him with the clothesline. You know, there was a lot in here too about them making fun of, you know, baseball not being on and this is pro football can't
right.
handle this type of action. So it's kind of weird. I was kind of wondering that, like, did they really get a bump off of MLB not being there? You know, I actually liked when Shawn did the super kick too. He kind of acted tired, like he was kind of like resting on the ropes before super kicking it. So like, mm-hmm. I thought that was good selling versus him being like fresh because it was mid match. So I thought that helped tell like a storyline. Like if you don't kind of know exactly where they're going, I think it added, in my eyes, it added to it.
Right.
Vince and this whole match is out of control. It's unbelievable. It's his 1-2-3. He got him. Oh no. Or, you know, new tag. I mean, all his like stereotypes and all his favorite sayings, he was just going off on. It's like put his greatest hits album during this match. And the big boot to end the match, I thought it could have been smoother, but man, it was such a creative idea. Like Diesel kind of got stuck on, like, Kid came too close to him. Kid came too close to him when he was over the rope, but man, like, very innovative spot. So I thought it was pretty awesome from that. And then also, Kid had right before that had the leg drop off the top rope, which he's used a couple times, but like, I wish you use that more because he gets so much air on that.
Yeah,
it's almost like a RVD's frog splash, right? Where they just get so much air and the visual of it is just so awesome. He got huge air on this one. So I thought that was a pretty cool thing. Fun match. You know, kind of what we've been missing sometimes in this era is like, why not try something different?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Diesel held his own, for this fast-paced match.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, Action Zone, like, on like great matches is 2-for-2 so far, so like they're living up to the name and showing us something different, fast-paced kind of stuff. So yeah, this is definitely a great match to put on a new program that's going to want to, and they put it on first, so
yeah,
it'll make you
right away
tune in.
Right into it. And I assume this is going on the same time as football pregame show, I think,
because
they kind of mock it later. So a good idea, like, let's get this match on first. Don't let anyone like accidentally switch over to, you know, the other the other channels. So I thought that was creative on that one too.
Mm-hmm.
Then we kind of get a weird update where they're at the announce desk, and they kind of announce the SummerSlam report, kind of the matches we've been talking about already, but they kind of announce the, you know, each match related to Survivor Series.
Right.
And then we get Backlund out. So they match them, the Backlund match. He kind of comes out. No heat during the match. He's still got no music, which is just so weird for any guys that come out of this thing. During the match, Backlund gets no heat. He does a good job of, after like a kick out or something like that, he gets the crowd engaged. Like, he claps himself on the back and he gets the crowd like massive booing. But during the match, it is pretty silent. I don't know what they were thinking of this guy. Like, he's been cool, but I don't think he's going to draw anyone in. And the people that might know him in the olden days, like, they're not going to be intrigued by him. So I think he's trying out there. It's just maybe not hitting for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it was just kind of weird. Like you're not doing him any favors either, letting him follow the tag match either.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
you know?
Agreed. Yeah, and I think we complained. He fought Bob Holly last time. Like, have him fight more of that. Like, why do we need to see him hit with the squash, right? Like, you're trying to build this guy. It's different than someone like a Yoko, where, like, a squash makes him look so much stronger because he's just, like, able to fling the guys around. He just looks more menacing. But, like, Backlund, you should be having him take out guys. And so we liked it when he did it to Holly.
Yep.
I liked that he took out Adam Bomb randomly. But, like, I don't want to say we didn't need this, but I think it would have been so much more credible to have him do face someone else.
Well, especially if you're going to have him challenge for the belt, too.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yep. So, yeah. And so then we get she want me to do the next match?
Doink.
Yeah. You sure? Yeah, all right. So we also got during the Backlund match, I think it was just there for Todd Pettengill to do his Kermit the Frog voice. So
yeah,
I won't imitate him. So then we get Doink. I'm a little confused on this match, if it was a handicap match or it was just Doink and a jobber, but it's Tony DeVito, who actually took on Doink pretty well. Like, Tony actually, I would say, got 80% of the offense against Doink.
Right.
Because anytime Doink had any offense, it was always because he was tagging in Dink or Wink or Pink.
It was
so weird. They were kind of funny, like hopping on the middle rope with their butts, and
with their butts.
Yeah, they were. That's all.
It's because I can see their little fat asses.
Just like a swing. It was so it was so funny, and they kept making fun of the Wizard of Oz during the match, calling them the Munchkins. And it's okay for a break. I thought, you know, if you switch anything around, put this after the tag match. Again, it's confusing why they're all kind of coming in at different times during the match and kind of like messing with Danny DeVito's head, Tony DeVito's head.
Yeah.
You know, hair. Like, it's kind of silly stuff, but I think it works. And then I just want to do this because I have good notes on it, but IRS then at the gravestone, I thought this was pretty funny. He's such a dick here. He says that someone owes $121 for the quarterly tax, and they should have not had his the dead father's daughter's birthday party, and he's going to go get that money from her. Like, just so mean and so, like, what you would expect of, like, the – like, least empathetic, you know, government agent. And here's IRS. It's like, yep, you had a party on your daughter's behalf. I'm going to go get that money from you. I thought a really funny skit. It just, again, I put, he's such a dick in these, and that's what we like when he is. Like, it's the better part of it.
He's so bought into the role.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. He's not even playing a campy. Like, some things are campy. Like, no, he is serious about this money.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, we get a Bundy squash who, like I said, I'm not in love with. It's okay. It does a 5-count gimmick. Yeah. I guess if you're more nostalgic for King Kong Bundy, it's cool to see him there. I'm just not. Like, he was somebody that, like, you know, he was around in, like, Texas. Then he was in WWF for what, like, a year or two? 86, 85, 85?
Yeah, I don't even actually know how long it was. Because I'm not a big 85, 84, 86 guy. Like, the showmanship's not there, so I just haven't watched those as much.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long he was actually around for.
Yeah. So I just don't feel nostalgic for him, I guess. Like the stuff I've went back and watched from the 80s, it's not really like the Bundy era, so it just doesn't hit for me, I guess, which I can see why it would for some people. Then we also get a Luger squash to end the show. And what I was thinking is, like, how far he's fallen off from last year. And it's crazy because he is the Vince guy. Like, he's the prototypical Vince guy, body wise, you know, just everything. Like, he's, you know, clean cut, ready to play the all American role, all that. And it's like they fumbled him so bad. I don't know what's worse, like him getting fumbled or like Brett and WCW. Like, I can't tell which one, like, because they got Luger hot off of, you know, being the champion, not yep. the same kind of thing, not screw job wise, but you know, he was their champion. He's plays into Vince's hands, like, same kind of guy he wants, and they just don't do anything with them. And then Brett, you know, off the hottest moment ever. Just like WCW did everything with any WWE guy that came over except for Brett. So it's like they're kind of parallel a little bit. And it's kind of weird that they're both intermingled in like 94, like the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania and stuff. So just something random that I thought of that you can kind of compare the two.
Yeah. I just put that they're just, he's kind of like nothing.
Yeah. Well, they probably told him he's already going to do the damn tag team soon. He's probably like, God, I do not want to do this.
Yeah, definitely a letdown there. And they do talk about Backlund being on there, and then they get a terrible Mike Ditka impression. To kind of make fun of, don't turn to football, watch wrestling. This is way better. So, anything else on the Action Zone?
Nope, I think we're good.
Yeah, I mean, awesome tag match to drive that. And we're on to a live Raw. This is not a live Raw. Sorry, next one is. Sorry for that. Is the Halloween one.
Right.
But nothing's really Halloween about it, except that they talk a little bit about it, like nothing else.
Yeah, in the beginning. Yeah,
so this was taped on October 17th, so not too old. And obviously, this is where they kind of had what they wanted to do with the title match and some of the other stuff. So we'll really kind of build up Survivor Series here. But we get Luger versus Backlund. Again, they make fun of Backlund here. So, like, you're trying to make this guy credible, but they're, like, calling him white as ghosts. Like, they really mock him the whole time. Like, calling him old. Like, you know, they keep calling him old, too, which is, again, just funny. I think he's, like, 42, 43 at the time. And
right.
You know, what's AJ Styles right now? Like, 50, 55? Yeah. Like, it's just crazy. Like, in 20 years, how much, you know, people have gotten better in shape. But it doesn't give a lot of credibility to Backlund. Like, they keep mocking him. And then, of course, we get the Tatanka coming down. So I like that. Of course, Luger then stupidly goes after Tatanka for no reason. I love that Backlund's been trying to do the crossface all match. Can't do it. Luger's an idiot. And Backlund gets it on him. They really beat him down. I really like that after the match. Like, Tatanka comes in just massive, like, gut kicks. Mm-hmm. Really thought it was really good. The crowd is really into this. And I'm like, man, I hope they have a blow off of this Tatanka Luger stuff. Cause I know we didn't really like it. It was kind of cheesy at SummerSlam, but the way Tatanka has built this up and to give something to Luger, like, I would love to see this get a blown off. I don't think it does, but it should have.
Yeah. I don't think it does.
I don't think it does either, but I think this would have been a great WrestleMania match.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like the ending of the feud and setting up Luger and keeping him strong versus what kind of ends up happening. And then I put my next note, Lex Luger. There was a sign there. And then Macho gets involved. So pretty cool. I love that Macho's getting involved. I wish he would have been brought into this feud, or, like, you know, I think he's a guy that could have helped elevate Backlund in this thing. So I don't know if we'll see anything on that, but definitely would have been cool to we always talk about this, Macho being more involved in feuds. It's a disappointment. And then it's just weird that Backlund, like, he's gone by WrestleMania. So, like, they're kind of doing a lot to build him up real quickly, and then it kind of all fizzles out. I like that Savage got involved. I like this whole segment, just kind of the kind of Survivor Series chaos, right? You got Macho involved, you got Luger and Tatanka, Backlund, kind of coming up here. So I did like this match segment. It served all its purpose of, like, making the chaoticness of Backlund and Survivor Series.
Well, yeah, and like you said, like, Backlund leaving, like, it's so weird that they invest all this into him, and that just to scrap him in a couple months. You know, like, I think, like, with Hogan leaving and, you know, officially being on WCW now, they're throwing more at the wall to see what sticks. Like, they know that they can't just, like, you know, rest on their laurels and kind of just float now, because, you know, eventually Hogan's gonna, you know, bring the eyes to WCW. So it's like, hey, we got to kind of, like, find something that's going to last here. So yeah, we built up Backlund, but long term, he's obviously not the answer. they just never believed in Brett, in my opinion. So, like they didn't think he was the long-term answer. Luger's kind of already washed up, I guess, like as far as, you know, how bad they've tainted him. So he's not the answer. So it's I'm kind of surprised they didn't go with Razor first. Like, I'm surprised because he's young. He's a bigger guy. He's crazy over with the crowd. I'm just surprised that he didn't get the chance first. But I guess Diesel just being, you know, a lot bigger and probably more of a better talker on the mic, like charisma wise. But
I don't know. I don't think he is at the time. I mean,
yeah, he's you're probably right. At the time. Yeah, you're probably right. Cause Diesel, he doesn't really find his voice until little, and then they make Diesel something he's not, like they make him, try to make him Hogan. So yeah, you're probably right. Razor's.
I don't know.
It's just weird. It's just like, this is a very weird time. As far as like the, like, I know once Diesel gets champion, it's not, you know, the best run, but at least there's, like, structure there, you know, like, with who's on top and everything like that. But, yeah, it's just this little, like, you know, 3 month, I guess, from here till, you know, maybe Royal Rumble or something. This, like, it's just everything's, like, in flux, I guess. It just, it's never really felt like this before. I don't think so. And what you said about Savage being heated, that was awesome. Like, he added so much to this, at the end, like so much credibility with him jumping in and doing something about it. Like, he's the, you know, the face of the company, kind of standing up for what's right kind of thing. So,
yeah, I'm just not sure why he wasn't used more, right? Like, this would be a great spot to use him. I mean, we always talk about that.
I think Vince, like, pigeonholed him into being an announcer. Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's like, just like if you're, this great worker that's good at getting people over, that's the role you're going to play. And Savage was so good at being the announcer and being the welcoming voice, like the ambassador.
Yeah.
Like, he was so good at that that's what they pigeonholed him into being, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I wish they would have. He could have gotten so many good matches out of like a young Sean. Like, imagine him working with 1-2-3 Kid in a random match or something like that. Like, it would have been awesome. So speaking of Kid, we get a 1-2-3 Kid squash, which is always fun to watch. Like, he's just on it. Seeing him out there.
Yeah.
We also get a King Kong Bundy squash again, so he's kind of been keeping busy. And then we get a King's Court with the Undertaker. So this is a kind of a weird vibe too, as far as King's Court goes. Like the lights are all out when Taker's out, then all of a sudden, you know, makes him come back on and everyone's like enamored with that. So I don't know. The Bear, like Lawler interaction was more prevalent here than Taker was, because Taker's like slow delivery and everything just doesn't play with Lawler's comedic timing, I don't feel like. So like Lawler and Bear were more the focal point here. Bear starts like going through like this book showing all the wrestlers that are gone because of the Undertaker. And I think it's kind of like implied that Hogan's probably one of them. Because they don't really show who it is, but they say, like, you know, this guy here, he's gone now because of Undertaker. But even though Undertaker wasn't the one that took Hogan out, but I think it's just kind of implied. Unless just somebody else that you could think of.
No.
That it would be. I don't know. It was just weird that they kind of didn't want to show who it was.
Yeah.
And it's an older, like, magazine, so it's probably Hogan.
Yeah.
Then, like, Taker just kind of makes these, like, kind of just like boring threats to Yokozuna. So nobody, for some reason, like Brett and Taker call him Yokozuna. You got Yakazuma. You got
Fuji calls him the wrong name. It's his manager,
right. Virgil. Like, nobody gets his name right. Like, it's so crazy.
Virgil.
Virgil.
Yakazama or whatever he calls him.
Yeah. So it's like I don't know. Like, it's just really weird. Taker with like these long drawn out, like, I don't know. It just doesn't fit right with Lawler, because Lawler is usually like the quick wit humor. So kind of weird to see like two King's Courts that didn't really hit. Like, at least you usually get something out of it. And it was okay, but it just wasn't the same kind of like highlight of the show kind of thing. So and then I'll just throw the last one in, just because one more thing. We do get a Jim Neidhart squash at the end, which sucks that he is like levels above Owen Hart right now. I just cannot believe that this is a real thing. Like, I always thought Neidhart just like peered in a little bit for the Brett feud, like in my mind. He just like stuck his nose in there a little bit, but he is like, if they were to have rankings, like just like kayfabe wise, he'd be way ahead of Owen right now, which sucks really bad.
Yeah, I don't really care for him. I think they do announce though that next week there's gonna be a Family Feud match.
Yeah.
So pretty cool with, I think, still trying to keep the Neidhart. That's one thing that they were saying on the house show circuit from the Observer, that like Neidhart was facing Brett, and definitely they were gonna move away from that shortly. So interesting on that front as well. And the other thing I did find it so funny about the Taker plugging the magazine, like being the salesman. Yes. Salesman, so funny. And they also had a softball game highlights that was pretty funny that I wish I could have somehow seen. From I think it was, I forget who it was, but Dink had a big hit. That was my only note from it. But yeah, it'd been awesome to watch that. It looked amazing. So anything else from these?
No, man, I think we're good.
No, I mean, good. Do we finally get some Survivor Series build up here?
Yeah, definitely.
We had two. The awesome tag match. I thought Luger Backlund was a ton of fun. We got too many squashes on some of it, but I thought a good segment. And they're definitely building up. You can't say they're not building the Taker Yoko stuff, even though it's kind of a little silly. And I like what IRS is doing as well. So time to move on to awards.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good. All right. So we got most new gen outfit.
I'm going to go with Savage. Like his little, I know he's on his way out too. Yeah. So I'm going to throw him a bone, but
definitely
his
good
colorful
idea.
Outfit, his little run in was kind of highlighted there. So I'm going to go with him.
I'll go Dink, Wink, and Pink. They're so colorful. Nice. So colorful. And I do
ass.
Like the colors. Yeah. They're ass. Most new gen performer.
You know what? I'll go with Kid. You know, like we mentioned in that tag, like he was the glue, and just like he's always jumping off the screen when he's out there. So I think he doesn't get mentioned enough. So
yep, I have the same. I have Kid. Perfect. I think the best. Worst match or segments?
Man, there's a couple. This sucks to say. I think I'm gonna have to go with the King's Court with Cheesy. Like I hate throwing Lawler under the bus, but that to make a Lawler segment like
that
make
bad.
Me roll my eyes. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with that.
I'm gonna go the last match, Neidhart. Just nice. nothing to him.
Yep.
Best match.
Oh, click tag. 100%.
Yep. I think both have to agree on that. I know we try to do differently, but that's an all time match. Right. It was on like seven different compilations too. Anyone that is tracking DVDs at home,
right?
Stock up or down? Stock up first. We'll do
stock up. I'm gonna go with IRS, kind of making a little comeback with his little vignettes there.
Yep, I like that. I'm gonna go. I feel like I'm gonna go with someone out. I'll go Diesel for hanging with the.
The tag match,
hanging with Razor, hanging with Kid, hanging with Shawn Michaels. Like I thought that was pretty impressive. Like he didn't feel out of place. He didn't feel like a big guy, like that you know was just used there for big moves. Like he definitely did his moves, but he hung in there. Anyone stock down?
I mean, Yoko. I feel like I just picked Yoko. I'm gonna go with Mabel. Like Mabel.
You had Charlie Min last time, so you got reprieve if you want to go Yoko. But
well, I think I'm gonna go Mabel because like he was always entertaining at least before,
yes.
And now the act just seems stale, like dead. Like the act just seems dead. So I don't know. It's just not. Like, remember when Men on a Mission first came out, like, we were just like shocked at how over they were with the crowd, and now it's just like a boring act. So I'm gonna go Mabel.
I would go just because we haven't really thought about them, but the Smoking Guns, just because I think we, just from our conversation today, of like everyone thinks like they're the new gen tag match, and to have like a boring squash and to be kind of brought in that main event feud with no feud, like Adam Bomb has been way more enjoyable lately than them. So I'm just going to go with them just overall, maybe not just this week's, but just the past, whatever, 2 years they've been around, kind of doing nothing. So, all right. I think we have a couple more Raw and Superstars before we get to Survivor Series.
Right.
I pretty much got all the matches announced, but there'll be more build definitely for those. And, you know, starting looking very soon, Rumble season as well after we get through Survivor Series. So hopefully a couple fun months coming up, and we'll see everyone in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.